Hanging on the cross, arms outstretched, nailed so he cannot cover himself, Jesus, as we heard in the second meditation, is flanked by two thieves, one on his right, one on his left. One has spoken to him with a request. Turning to him, Jesus promises, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And now his gaze turns, not upward to his Father, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," neither to the right or to the left, with his promise to the repentant thief. Now Jesus looks down from the thieves on either side of him to his mother standing at the foot of the cross with the others. John writes this: "Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." Woman, here is your son. With his downward gaze and with his words, we are taken back to his birth. Here on the cross at the end of his life, we are taken back to its beginning. Jesus was born of Mary, born into a human family. Not into any family, a particular family with a particular history. And in this sense, he is like every other person born, like you and me. None of us are an every man or an every woman born into an every family. We are not generic humans. Why? Because we are creatures created by God. And the characteristic of all creatures born of women is our particularity. So too Jesus, fully in our flesh, and his mother Mary is the link to all of this. She is called in Greek Theotokos, God bearer. Woman, here is your son. He said to his disciple, here is your mother. Christ is born to Mary while Palestine is under Roman occupation. Mary and Joseph are very poor. When they bring Jesus to the temple 8 days after his birth to participate in the cleansing rituals appointed by the Torah, they make the sacrifice appointed for those who are too poor to afford a lamb. Their sacrifice was only two pigeons or turtle doves. Soon after, they hear that Herod wants to kill their son because he has been proclaimed king of the Jews. So they must flee. And Jesus begins his life as a refugee in Egypt, not unlike the millions of recent refugees from Syria who fled first to Egypt and Turkey and now throughout the Mediterranean and North America. Because of this child, Mary's son, hundreds of young boys are slaughtered by Herod because of their particularity, that is, their sex and their age. No, Jesus is not born into a generic family, but a particular one with this particular mother, Mary. These social, sexual, and economic distinctions are the inevitable reality of creaturely existence in a fallen world. And that is the world he came to redeem. And that is the world he is born into and embraces. And so he is born of Mary. Woman, here is your son. Then he said to his disciple, here is your mother. We cannot separate mother from son. We cannot take all the paintings and sculptures of mother and child through the centuries and chip away at them, removing Mary from child, airbrushing the pictures to remove the mother. Because to do so would reduce God's love of us to a principle, a proposition, something abstract we need only to grasp with our head, skirting safely above creaturely existence. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all it took to redeem the world, to redeem our families, to redeem our communities and nations, would be to get our thinking right? But that is not where we live, and that is not where sin plays out. Sure, it might start in our head, greed and vengeance and hardness of heart, but it plays out on persons, on families, on the fathers and brothers and sisters who were killed in Egypt, on our mothers and brothers and sisters and ourselves, in the hardness and complexities and fallenness of our own families. No, we cannot reduce God's love to us to a proposition or simply getting teaching right. So in the fullness of time, God chose this way to come among us, to descend to a place he does not belong, to give up, as Paul says in Philippians, equality with God. He was born into a human family where we all live, with all its particularities which so divide and trouble us, yet which are what it means to be human. And now Mary stands at the foot of the cross, watching her son, watching her Savior, freely choosing to be tortured and die so he can redeem creatures such as herself, so he can redeem families. Women, woman, here is your son. And then he said to the disciple he loved, here is your mother. And with these words, as he gives his mother over to the disciple he so loves, even this most creaturely of things, a mother, a family, even this is taken from him on the cross, torn from him, just like his clothes. Parent broken away from child, like his bones. What are we to make of this? Is this a final giving up of creaturely existence, a part of the costliness of Christ's love for us? Or is it a warning not to put our own families above our following of Jesus Christ? In the gospel, his family comes to meet him, and his disciple says to him, you know these words, your mother and brother are outside. And he asks this question, who is my mother or brother? But the one who does my will and follows me. Why in the many post-resurrection appearances, when Jesus, after his resurrection, eats with his disciples on the beach, joins them frightened in the upper room, walks along and teaches the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Why does he not visit his mother? Is this final giving up of creaturely existence a part of the costliness of his love for us, or a warning not to put our own families above our following of Jesus Christ? I think in sense it is neither, but the truth that our families, those we love and those we harm, their redemption, their healing, cannot be found outside of Jesus Christ, but only as he is a part of them and of us. In the end, like any mother, Mary can only watch the sufferings of her son. She would gladly bear them for her, wouldn't she? She is a mother, after all, his mother. Yet at the foot of the cross, she cannot take his place. Though her son, Jesus, is also her God, and she his disciple, the first and foremost of disciples, as the church has always named her. As God spoke to her through the angel in the Annunciation, Mary, you will bear a son and call him Jesus. Now God speaks to her again, giving her a new family, born not of flesh, but in the wounds and resurrection of Christ. Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Amen.